Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it. This is Rick Rickma, your hard-working mortgage guy with Advisors Mortgage Group. And today we're going to talk about a variety of mortgage-related and housing-related news that's going on. Obviously, if you've been a buyer for a home, it's been a very, very tough year for the buyers. And the reason is that there's been a lot more buyers out there than there have been homes on the market. And because of that, it's what we call, obviously, everybody knows, it's a seller's market. And so the sellers are kind of in control. So there's been a lot of things that have happened through this year that are different than we normally see. The way you negotiate on a house, what you negotiate, and it's kind of a celebration now when you get an offer accepted, and you know, because it's been so difficult, a lot of offers they start that it used to be when you put your house on the market, and let's say you said, my house, I want $250,000, that's what I think it's going to sell for, and you expect to negotiate off that $250,000. Today, it starts, if you put it at 250, you kind of expect an offer to be higher than that. Most times in the volume of offers that you get, that's what will happen. I just had a customer who they went and they bought a home. They have a house to sell. They went and they bought the home. The day after they bought the home, they put the home on their current home on the market. And the first day, at the end of the first day, they had six offers, all of which were over list price. And waiving, you know, basically other than, you know, like not, they had an inspection though. I think the one that they took, although I won't swear to it, one of the ones specifically had, they were going to have an inspection, but anything that was less than $3,000 to fix, they weren't going to ask for it to be fixed. So they were just looking to make sure there were no major issues with the house. That's kind of the way it is in our market today. So it is a very, very different market than anything that most of us have ever seen. And it's been that way for a little over a year now. So what's happening? Is it changing? You know, there's a lot of news out there about prices having increased. That's another big piece of our market, that prices have increased. Nationally, we're up like 17, 18%. I think I actually saw 20% the other day. That, you know, it just depends on who's telling you what it is. In Indianapolis, I believe we're in more in the 14% range. Again, it depends on who's telling you what it is. Even facts are not always facts, so you have to be somewhat suspect of them, but it's the best you can do. But it looks like that's about where we're increasing in value or have over the last year. And is that going to continue? That's another big question people have. Is the market going to continue like it is? And there's a lot of news out there. A lot of experts are out there saying that they think that we're going to have, the housing market is in a bubble and we're going to have all these issues just like we had in 2008. And if you actually look at what's going on and you look at the situation, you'd realize it's completely different. One of those items that is very, very different is what we just talked about. Homes have increased in value at tremendous pace. And so there's actually more equity in people's homes today than there's ever been. The amount of equity we have collectively in our homes is unbelievable. I don't remember the exact number, but it is a huge, huge number. And of course, if you buy a house and you pay $200,000 for it and it appreciated at 13%, the next year it's worth $213,000. The next year it's worth like $227,000, $228,000. The next year, so you can see it doesn't take long to build the equity. Plus, at the same time, you put money down and you're paying interest, so you're lowering your loan amount. So the equity we're building up is substantial. Along with that, one of the reasons we have a lot of homes, we don't have a lot of homes on the market, it's why it's such a seller's market, is a lot of people are not selling. They're keeping their homes. And so they're not only getting the advantage of the equity increase, but they've already paid their homes down. Like, I've been in my home for a long, long time. And so I'm not in the market. We just redid our kitchen. So we're just not in the market to go in you know, put our house up and sell our house and go through that. It's not what we want to do. It's not the right time for us. So we're just collecting it. And there's a lot of people like that. And that's kind of the problem is there people aren't moving, so there aren't the homes coming on the market. But along with that, if you're somebody looking to buy a house, there is some easing in that. We are getting a few more homes coming on the market. And so it is becoming a little easier for people who are looking to buy to find a home and to get their offer accepted. It's not like it was, but if you have a really strong real estate agent who understands the process and can walk you through it and can you know guide you on how to make the offer, what kind of offer to make, you will get a home. I'm not going to say you're going to get the first house that you make an offer on. That may happen. It may not. But if you stick with it, it can happen. And I know that it's a struggle right now for some people. I've talked to many of my people I've done pre-approvals for. It's one of the first things. If you're going to look at buying a home, one of the first things that you want to do is you want to do a pre-approval. You need to have that pre-approval to send it in with your offer so that seller knows you can buy the home. And it's a fairly detailed process that we go through. We try to make it as easy as possible, but on the other side, we want to make darn sure that you are pre-approved. And when you make an offer on a home, you're going to be able to close on that home, barring some catastrophe. It should happen. And so I highly recommend if you're looking at homes and you haven't done a pre-approval, you know, go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Contact me from there. My email address is there. My phone numbers are there. You can contact me direct from the website. And we want to talk about that and talk about getting that pre-approval, what we need to do. And basically what we do with a pre-approval is we just set a time. We get in that time, I have a person that loan origination manager takes all my applications. She's very, very good at it because she takes them all the time. She knows exactly what we need and she'll go through that. You can also do it online directly from my website if you prefer. It just says apply now on the top of the website. But we prefer my loan origination manager to call you and she can walk you through the entire process and it make it a little bit easier for you and also make sure that the application is filled out with all the correct information. And then when that happens and we run credit, we go through that credit. I look through everything. If everything looks great, I call, we talk about it, and then we will get your pre-approval letter to you. Sometimes there may be things that we need to talk about in more detail. There may be times when the credit score is good, but not as good as it could be. Maybe some easy fixes. We can talk about that while we do the pre-approval, while you're making, you know, finding a home, we can get those credit fix and get the credit score up so that it gets the best rate and best terms possible. So as you look at that, obviously interest rates are a big deal when you're looking at buying a home. And so what are rates like today? You know, it's so much what you were used to that makes a difference when you're looking at interest rates. So I can tell you back when I got into actually, it was in new home sales back in 1990. Rates were well over 12%. And I remember when they went down under 10%, everybody threw a party. They thought, man, this is it. This is the greatest thing that we'll ever see. We'll probably never see, you know, this is as low as we'll ever get. Nobody thought they'd see it again because they'd been up into the 18, 19% range in the 70s and early 80s. So getting down under 10% was a huge deal. So people who remember that, the rates today are phenomenal. And rates today are phenomenal. They're a tad bit higher and they, you know, than they were maybe 3 months ago, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, but they're still at record lows. So even though they're up a little bit, you can't look at that and be all upset that, hey, I missed out, because it's really not, it's still a good time. It's a great time. Homes are appreciating. So if you buy now and they appreciate 13% next year, you're going to see that much equity in the house. If interest rates go up next year, you're going to be in much worse shape next year. Your higher prices, higher interest rates. So it really is a time to look at, if you're looking at buying a home and even refinancing, this could be a really good time to do that. But it certainly is if you're thinking about buying a home. Yes, there's a lack of inventory, but it's not as bad as it was. And again, it just takes the right real estate agent. If you're a first-time home buyer, go onto my website. We'll get you the information. We are doing a first-time home buyer seminar every 2 weeks. Normally, we do it on Wednesday night. We do make it as easy as possible. We go through all the information. I'll kind of go through a little bit of that information through the next few weeks, just so you have kind of an idea, but it's nothing like going to the seminar. If you or you know of anybody who is a first-time home buyer or looking to buy a home for the first time, have them go to my website, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. You know, put their information in there. Let me know that they're first-time home buyers and they would like to be invited to the seminar, and we'll make sure they get the information, or they can email or call me direct from the website also. After the break, we're going to go into a little bit 10 easy ways to winterize your home. It's coming up to that time of year where we need to think about winterizing our homes. So I want to go over the 10 easy ways to winterize your home.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it very much. We're going to go over the 10 easy ways to winterize your home. Now, these are actually, I went online, looked at it, and this is from Popular Mechanics. So it's something that they put out, and as I read through it on all the ones I looked at, it made the most sense to me. So I thought this would be really good to go over and give people the information. It obviously is a time, you know, we're hitting that time frame when we need to do it. Actually, it's a time to do it before it gets cold. So this is a perfect time. So number 10 is insulate your hot water pipes. You know, they say to reduce heat loss and save energy and money by insulating all of your hot water pipes. The insulation will help keep the water hot inside the... That's amazing. So your boiler or water heater won't have to work so hard. Obviously, if it's warm, it doesn't have to heat it as much. Also, you won't have to waste as much time or water waiting for hot water to flow out of the faucets or shower head. Pipe insulation comes in two basic types, foam rubber sleeves that you slip onto the pipe and insulated wraps that you wind around the pipes. I've never done the insulated wraps. I have done the foam rubber sleeves. And the reason I've done it that way is because it seemed like the easiest way to do it, and I tend to take the easy way out. I don't know if it's as good, but I've done that. It does work. I happen to have one of my water heaters is pretty far away from my sink, my kitchen sink, which is where we get that one heats. And because of that, we tend to get hot water very, very quickly. So, that's something. Insulating your hot water pipes can really help. It's a good thing to look at doing to winterize your house and to save energy.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
You know, I've had so many questions lately. It's amazing how many people are out looking, either looking at homes or looking to refinance. And one of the biggest questions I get, I can't even give this to say this person asked me this because I've been asked so many times. And it's really, and I talked about it a little bit, but what are mortgage rates going to do? People are very concerned about where mortgage rates are. They're very good, but they're afraid they're going to go up. But nobody wants to lock in a rate and then have the rate go way down. So that's always a concern. And they also don't want to not lock the rate and have the rate go up. So where are mortgage rates headed? And first, you have to understand that nobody knows 100%. We do not have a crystal ball. We do not know where mortgage rates are going to go 100%. All we can do is look at what's going on, look at what the economic indicators are, look at the news, and see what's going to happen. So the basics, in my opinion, are this. Number one, the first thing we want to look at is the mortgage-backed security bonds. That's where mortgage rates are traded. That's where our rates come from. Mortgage bonds are a fixed rate investment. When you have a fixed rate investment, the worst thing, the arch enemy of a fixed rate investment is inflation. Inflation deteriorates the value of that asset. So as inflation comes in, you're going to see mortgage rates increase if there's a fear of inflation or if it starts to show up. And that is why I believe there is no better time to lock your rate than right now. I'm very, very much in a locking mode over floating mode because the feds look at the year-over-year inflation. And the inflation numbers are going up because we're replacing a year ago zero inflation. September, October, and November inflation numbers, I may have this wrong, but I believe that's correct, in 2020 was zero. We're going to replace those, and we're going to replace those with positive numbers. And because of those positive numbers, we're going to see our inflation number year over year go up. When that goes up, that will tend to put a lot of fear into the market, and we will likely see mortgage rates start to increase. And quite honestly, we've already started to see that because the fear is already there. Additionally, another area that we have to watch is what the Federal Reserve is going to do. And they have indicated that they are going to start not buying as much in the way of mortgage-backed securities. And so that's where these bonds, that's what these bonds are, and that's what they sell. And they've been buying a tremendous amount. They've been buying about $120 billion in mortgage-backed securities every single month. And so the news, because this is where the news and what's actually happening don't always line up. The news is that they're going to start the tapering being they're going to cut back on the amount of mortgage bonds that they purchase. So new mortgage bonds that they purchase, and they're going to cut that back by $15 billion, which is a lot of money. What they're not going to cut back is reinvesting in mortgage bonds on the bonds that they already have that are paid off. So as people sell their home, they pay off the mortgage, and that's that bond being paid off. And instead of taking that money and just, you know, paying, you know, holding it, buying, you know, buying down what they owe, that what they're doing is they're reinvesting that in new mortgage bonds, new mortgages that are going in there. So we're going to go from about $120 billion in bonds to about $105 billion in bonds. So even though that's not a big drop, I mean, $15 billion is a lot of money, but it's still not a huge drop. It is one of those things that the investors are fearful of, and that could increase mortgage rates. So the bottom line on mortgage rates, in my opinion, is at this point in time, I believe that you should seriously consider, if you're at the position when you can, I would lock the rate as soon as possible. It doesn't mean that the, you know, rates won't go down a little bit before they go up. Rates don't go direct straight down. They don't go straight up. So they bounce. And last week, we had a pretty decent week in the mortgage-backed security bond market. We had some days where it went up. But all in all, if you look at the entire graph, the entire market, what I watch is the Japanese candlestick chart, and you can see that it's on a downward trend since, late June, early July. It's been on a downward trend, so it seems to be on a downward trend. Again, it's not terrible. Rates aren't they're still at very, very levels where people went crazy just a few years ago over the rates. I mean, I'm just talking a year or two ago when they went crazy. They were awesome rates. They still are awesome rates. They're just a tad higher than they were, you know, a month, 2 months, well, really 2, 3, 4 months ago, but not so much that it's going to stop people from being able to afford homes or buy homes. So let's get back to the 10 easiest ways to winterize your home. We did number 10, which was insulate hot water pipes. Number 9 is hang insulated window treatments. Even the best, tightest ceiling windows feel a bit cold in the winter. To make rooms feel warmer, cover your windows with insulated blinds or thick quilted drapes. I mean, that is, I've never done that. I can tell you my wife doesn't like a house that's dark, so I think she would rather be a little cold and spend more money on heat than do that. But that is obviously a way to do it, and it's one of the things Popular Mechanics is recommending. Number 8. Is reverse ceiling fans. And now this is an easy one if you have ceiling fans. Heat rises, obviously. So if you reverse the fans from summer to winter, you can take that heat from the, in the summer you're pulling it up to get it away from you. In the winter, you want to push it back down. So if you think ceiling fans are only useful in the summer,
think again, most fans have a switch either on the motor housing or the remote control. So either place on the housing or the remote control that allows you to reverse the fan blade rotation. So in the summer, the blades, and this is something I think that helps so we understand. In the summer, the blades rotate counterclockwise to blow down cool breezes. So you want in the summer, you want it counterclockwise. But in the winter, reverse the blade rotation so that they blow up. So you want it clockwise. And that way, the fan will force warm air trapped in the ceiling down into the room. So if you have ceiling fans, that is a very, very simple thing to do. It doesn't take hardly anything to do that. And just if it's in the winter, you want the fans going clockwise. In the summer, you want them going counterclockwise. Number 7, install electrical outlet gaskets. Now, I have done this, and it is amazing because my house is an older home. It was built 100 years ago. So it has, you know, some of these things are really important. A lot of things have been replaced. So it's not, you know, it's not that it all has to be done, but I have put the outlet gaskets on, and it doesn't seem possible, but the surprising amount of cold air that blew in around my electrical outlets, it was always crazy. And since even a modest sized home has dozens of outlets, heat loss is significant. An easy, affordable way to seal up drafty outlets is the foam rubber outlet gaskets. You can get these at almost any hardware store, I'm sure. And it does really make a difference. So simply remove the outlet cover, press the gasket over the electrical outlet, then replace the cover. It's really a simple thing to do. And I can tell you that because I am not handy at all. Zero. You can ask my wife. She will verify that I am not a handy person, but I can unscrew the outlet cover, put the gasket in there and screw it back on. And I've done that. And obviously you do it on the outside walls, not on the inside walls. But if you do that, it really does make a difference. It made a big difference in our house. It really cut down on the amount of air blowing through. So number 6 is install a programmable thermostat. And now this is one of those things that everybody tells me is great. I've had programmable thermostats. Currently, I don't. But if your family keeps regular schedule, meaning you come and go at somewhat regular times each day, install a programmable thermostat, which can be adjusted to suit your lifestyle. So you can, a programmable thermostat, you can preset to automatically turn on the heat in the morning as everyone goes off to work or school, and then lower the heat once everyone has left the house. And you can program the heat to come back on just before everyone gets home in the day, you know, later in the day, so that you're warm and comfortable. And then you can take it back down at bedtime so that it's more comfortable when you're sleeping. I know my wife and I, we prefer it to be cooler in the evening. Most programmable thermostats also have a weekend and vacation setting. And if you buy a smart programmable thermostat, you'll be able to control it from anywhere in the world using your phone or tablet. So all of these are hooked up to the internet. It's amazing. They're hooked up to the internet. They're easy to use. I will say that, and just, I've bought one in the past. I couldn't hook it up. I had to have an HVAC company come in and hook it up because my house is so old, the wiring wasn't correct for a programmable thermostat. If you have a newer house, you won't have that problem. But just know that if you have an older house, you could have that issue. You might actually have to have somebody else do it. Or it might just be the fact that I am not handy at all. And it just needs somebody who actually knows what they're doing. For me, that helped a lot. You know, number 5 is another really basic, easy thing to do. And I can tell you it is critical. And it is change your furnace filters. Here's how I remember to do it. On my phone, there's a reminder setting. I go to my reminders, and for every 2 months, I set a reminder to replace my furnace filters. Before I did that, I can tell you, I have opened up to change my furnace filter, and that my furnace filter has been basically sucked into my furnace, and all the air going around it, and there it is. And that's not good for your energy efficiency. It's not good for your furnace, it's going to damage it. So you really want to replace the furnace filter. And I will tell you, years and years ago when I was in new home sales, if they hadn't replaced the furnace filter, all of a sudden your house would just start getting, the model would just start getting cold. It wouldn't be as warm as it should. And it was the very first thing that you always check, and I still check today if that ever happens, is the furnace filter. And all you have to do most of the time is just replace that furnace filter. Just make sure, you know, furnace filters are directional, so make sure you replace it to go in the right direction. But it is definitely a critical piece in order to make sure that you're getting the most energy efficiency out of your furnace and also the most comfort in your house. And I'm one of those people who, you know, if it costs me $3 extra a month to keep my house comfortable, I'll set my temperature up a degree and stay comfortable. But I don't want to pay $10 extra because I just didn't replace my furnace filter. And furnace filters are expensive, but still, it saves you money in the long run, so it's definitely worth doing. Number four, replace door weather stripping. Inspect the weather stripping around all exterior doors to ensure that it's in good shape and not ripped, crushed, or missing. Obviously, that would let air in. Then close the door and check for air leaks, gaps around all four edges of the door. Take a peek under the door if you see sunshine shining through. You'll need to either raise the threshold or install a door sweep. And to detect drafts, try this trick. Take a smoldering stick of incense and slowly pass it around the door. Even the slightest breeze will make the smoke stream dance, indicating where the leak is. So you want to find out if there's any leaks. That's a great way to do it. And then you can replace the weather stripping. Weather stripping normally is very easy to replace. Even somebody like me with no skills on that at all can do that. And I have in the past, and I will just tell you, it does make a big difference. Again, it cuts down on those drafts, makes it feel much better in your house. And you know, if you're selling your house in the winter, these things are important because when people come in to feel comfortable in your house, that makes a difference. Number three, and this isn't for everybody, but it is depending on what kind of windows you have, install storm windows. If your home doesn't have insulated glass windows, then you should install storm windows. Old single pane windows are terribly inefficient and can make your room feel uncomfortably cold and drafty. Storm windows mount to the exterior of existing windows and provide an extra layer of protection against cold weather, including snow, wind, and rain. Come spring, the storm units can be removed and stored away until the next winter. When I grew up, we had storm windows, and I can tell you, I remember my dad needing to put them in and take them out, and I remember him complaining the entire time because it is not fun to do. But if you can't replace your windows with new windows, it is the next best thing, and it will make a big difference in the comfort of your home. Obviously, it makes a difference in what you spend on heating and cooling, but it really does make a difference on the comfort, and that's really what we want. I'm sure most of us want. We just want a comfortable home. So definitely, if you have windows, single pane windows that need storm windows, then I would seriously consider installing the storm windows. Another thing I have done is the plastic over that when I had those old windows, and that did help on the really bad drafty windows. We did that. You get that. You use like a hair blower. I don't have hair, so I can't remember what it's called, but a hair blower that you do that with. Fortunately, my wife has hair, so we used hers. Number two, caulk cracks. So one of the simplest and most effective ways to stop cold air infiltration is to plug up holes, cracks, and open seams around the exterior of your home using a high quality acrylic latex caulk or expanding foam sealant, depends on what you're doing, which one you're going to use, and fill any and all air leaking gap. Pay particular attention to any area around the outside of the windows, doors, hose faucets, and where the siding overlaps the foundation. This is critical. It's extremely important for that, but it's also extremely important for water infiltration. And number one is add attic insulation. The most effective use of insulation is in the attic. Unfortunately, most homes have either no insulation or too little insulation to the attic, according to the EPA. Attics should have a minimum of R38 insulation, which is typically between 10 and 14 inches deep. Properly insulated attic floor will help prevent air leaks into the rooms below. It just makes a huge difference. So definitely make sure that you have enough insulation in the attic. If you don't, put more insulation in. I can tell you, in one of the models we had, they had forgotten to put insulation in the attic and you couldn't keep it warm. And it cost a fortune when they figured it out. Didn't take long. You figure it out, you and everything gets fixed. So it's definitely something. Attic insulation, number one, and it's not too difficult to do, or have, it's one of those things I would have somebody do. I appreciate you so much joining me today. Please go to my website, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. You can contact me from there. You've got my phone number. You can text me. You can call me. I will answer your questions the best I can and see how we can help you out. Thanks again for joining me. I appreciate it. Have a great Saturday.